You see, Jesus could have taken the attitude, I am God. I am God. I'm not a servant. But he didn't, did he? In fact, he said he had come to serve, not to be served. And that's an interesting thing. His equality with God was not something that he would take for granted, that actually he would lay that aside. Or he didn't use it as a way to escape being humble. That's an interesting concept. Jesus could have said, don't lay a hand on me, I'm God. But he chose to be a servant, didn't he?
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Well, this is an interesting passage, and as you know, we've been looking on Sunday evenings at the Trinity, and we've been looking particularly at Jesus, and we've been also taking on Sunday mornings the idea of Jesus coming to the earth as a human being. And this passage of Scripture is a great passage of Scripture that is very rich in what it teaches us and what it tells us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word and for the insight you give us. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit, that we may take that word and with your Holy Spirit place that word in our hearts, that we may be richer and fuller people to know Jesus even more. We thank you, God, for one another. Thank you for your presence here. And Lord, may you minister in our hearts. May you work and teach us your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this wonderful passage that we're looking at is kind of poetic in the Greek. If you were to look at that, it's kind of a song mode. And many people felt that this was an early hymn of the church, and that Paul is actually quoting an early hymn of the church. It is set to remind us what it took for Jesus to become human while being divine. And so it sets for us an example for ourselves that we should live and have the same attitude. In fact, when you look at the fifth verse of this, it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. The attitude. In other words, think this way. And that's exactly what the following verses of that talks about. It says, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, that's kind of a hard concept to get across, to be grasped. Steve, I don't know, which version were you reading from? Okay, NIV, you're like I am. You've memorized the King James, and so it accidentally comes out. But you're part on that where equality with God, something to be grasped, is an interesting thing. That equality with God as a human, something to be grasped, is what Paul is getting at. I like the way one commentator put it. He said to be human, Jesus did not use equality with God as a way to not be a servant. Did you get that? You see, Jesus could have taken the attitude, I am God. I am God. I'm not a servant. But he didn't, did he? In fact, he said he had come to serve, not to be served. And that's an interesting thing. His equality with God was not something that he would take for granted, that actually he would lay that aside. Or he didn't use it as a way to escape being humble. And that's an interesting concept. Jesus could have said, don't lay a hand on me, I'm God. But he chose to be a servant, didn't he? And he was a human being serving the Father. But yet he was sinless. He was divine. And how did he do this? I mean, how does God become human? Well, the Bible here tells us. It says he emptied himself. What did he give up to become a human? Well, in order to be human, he needed to depend upon the Father, just like all humans have to depend upon the Father. Amen? We have to depend upon the Father. So he chose to depend upon the Father. And some people say he gave up his omnipresence. Well, we see that a little bit. I don't like to say he gave it up. I'd like to say he switched it off. You see, because sometimes Jesus was here and he couldn't be there at the same time. But you know what he could do? He could pray to the Father and that person would be healed. Isn't that amazing? So some people said that he gave that up. Well, how about his omniscience, knowing all things? Well, he did come as a baby, didn't he? Did he have to learn to walk? Did he have to learn to talk? Had to go to school? He gave up that to be a human being. So he came to learn. Omnipotence, all-powerful. He became a servant of God the Father. Like all human beings, he humbled himself. Now, I believe that Jesus possessed all of these things, but he chose not to use them to be the servant of God and to be fully human. That's just my personal opinion. That's Mark's commentary, okay? In fact, instead of blowing the people away that were trying to kill him, he humbled himself to the point of death. He was fully divine. I'm glad about that. We talked about how last week how he had to be fully divine. Amen? But he humbled himself to the point of death. Now that's humility. When you stop and think that Jesus is God in the flesh, and he didn't use that power to defend himself. And Paul is trying to tell us to behave in a way that we have the same attitude as Christ. Be a servant. Have a servant heart. Open yourself up to rely totally on the Father. That's what we need to do. Serve, serve, serve. I remember telling a person, I said, I'm a slave to Christ. He said, I'm no slave. And I said, well, Paul says you need to be a slave to Christ. I won't be a slave. I said, then you're not doing what Christ wants you to do. You see, humility causes us to humble ourselves before God and to serve. Well, practice humility. Jesus gave up a lot. When you think about the glory he had with the Father, to come here and be mistreated, to be spit upon, to be beaten, and to be nailed to a cross. He gave up his life. Well, he was promised the reward, and this passage tells us about that reward. Humility led to exaltation. Oh, big fancy word, exaltation, right? Big fancy word. It means to be lifted up. And Jesus was lifted up. Turn with me in your Bibles a minute to Luke 14. Luke 14. And I'm going to look at 11. Jesus taught this principle because he wants us to understand a principle that we need to humble ourselves. Look at verse 11 in chapter 14. He says, "For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Jesus knew that principle. He knew that principle. He understood that. And so he came as a servant to show us the Father. And he promises that there'll be a reward for that. Turn to chapter 18 in Luke. He goes on to say it again in chapter 18, verse 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." He's talking about that tax collector standing away in the distance, and he lifts his eyes up to heaven, and he beats his breast, and he says to God, "Be merciful to me." And Jesus is saying, you must be like that. He's God. But he humbled himself to become man. Now, if you take a look in our passage of Philippians 2, and you look at verse 9, it says, "Therefore also God highly exalted him," Jesus, "and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, now of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, God the Father." I love that passage. You know, I've talked to many people that will not bow their knee to Jesus. And I said, "I'm sorry, you're going to do it one way or another. I'd rather do it right now and submit to him and make him Lord and Savior. Because there will be a time when your knee will be bowed." Wow. So he practiced that. We are to bow and confess to the glory of the Father. In fact, everything Jesus did was to the glory of the Father, wasn't it? He constantly lived to please the Father. He left for us an example of how to serve God. And God has given to Jesus the name that is above all names, the name Lord. Lord. He is Lord. Oh, I wanted to sing that song, but we didn't have really enough time to do all that. But I thought of that song. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There, we did it. Okay. Okay. You know what is interesting? In verse 14 of the chapter that we didn't read, because there's just so much there, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Boy, I tell you what, in our Sunday school class, I think the nation of Israel should have learned that. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Boy, that tells us how to live right now, doesn't it? Yeah. Don't grumble. Don't grumble, be humble. Hey, that's a good saying. We'll put that in. That'll be our saying for next year. Don't grumble, be humble. All right? I'll sign that with everything. Don't grumble. We will be called innocent children. Oh, I love to watch kids. I do. I just love to see them as they learn things. Innocent kids. I love that. We are humble children. And then he later says something that really has been all construed the wrong way. He said for us, number three, to work out your salvation. Now, is salvation a work? Can I hear a yes or a no? That's right. Let's say it together. No. Say it one more time. No, one more time. No. What is Paul trying to get at to work out our salvation? Yeah. You know, he's not saying that we work and we get good and that earns our salvation. Not saying that at all. He's saying, if you are saved, let the glory of God and your salvation be shown by how you live and what you do and what you work at in this life. You see, that's what he's getting at. He says, when we work, we show our salvation. We show that we are children of God. We show that we are humble people. That we love the Father, that we serve the Father just like Jesus did. And you're saved, so let the glory of God shine through. Let God work through you. Let him do it. And he says, with fear and trembling. Now that means seriousness. That means seriousness. Be serious about that. And why do we do this? To earn our salvation. No! We do this for his good pleasure. You see, what we're trying to do is to please God. We're not trying to please man. Don't try to please me. Try to please God. That's what we need to do. We serve because of him. We do what we do because of him. That's what it's all about. And Jesus never compromised that, did he? He never compromised that, even to the point of death. In fact, Paul then says, so hold fast to the word of Christ. Hold fast to the word of Christ. I'm so glad that Jesus came. I'm so glad that he came as a servant and he showed me how to be a servant. I rejoice in that. You know, Mark was 11 year old and he lived with his aunt. She was a bitter, middle-aged woman who was greatly annoyed that she had to take care of her dead sister's son. And she never failed to remind Mark that he would be a vagrant, that he would be homeless without her. And still all the scolding and chilliness at home, he was a sweet and gentle child. He remained that way. Well, Mark's school teacher hadn't noticed him particularly until he began to stay after school. And when he stayed after school each day, at the risk of having the aunt get really mad at him, he helped to straighten up the room. He helped the teacher. And so they did this quietly each and every afternoon, not speaking much, but enjoying the solitude of the day and enjoying each other. When they did talk, you know what Mark would talk about? He'd talk about his real mom. And even though he was little when she died, he remembered her kind and gentle spirit, a woman that always had time for him. He remembered that. And Christmas was drawing near, and Mark didn't show up after school. And his teacher looked forward to him coming. When the days passed and he continued to scamper from the room after class, he'd leave. She stopped him one afternoon and asked why he no longer wanted to help in the room. And she told him how she had missed him. And his large gray eyes lit up. He smiled. "Did you really miss me?" Mark's teacher explained how he had been her best helper. "Well," he whispered, "I was making you a surprise. It's for Christmas." And with that, he became embarrassed and he left the room. And he didn't stay after school anymore after that. And finally, the last day of school before Christmas came. And Mark crept into the room and he had something behind his back. And he was hiding it. At the end of class, he came up and he says, "I have your present. I hope you like it." And he held out his hands. And in his small little hands was a little wooden box. It's beautiful, Mark. Is there something in it?" She looked inside. "Oh, you can't see what's in it. And you can't touch it or taste it or feel it. But Mom always says it makes you feel good all the time. Warm on cold nights, you know, and safe when you're home all alone." She gazed into the empty box. "What is it, Mark? What will make me feel so good?" "It's love." "Mom always said it's best when you give it away." And he turned and he quietly left the room. People, that's what Jesus came to give. For God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave. Every single one of us have been given a box. It's got love in it. It's got the sacrifice of Jesus so that we do not have to pay for our sins the wages of death. He paid it for us. In the beginning of this chapter, in chapter 2, Paul writes this to the church. So church, listen up. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for giving your love. Help us to be like Jesus. Help us that we may serve you as Christ served you. That we may be humble servants. That we submit to that journey that you have given us in life. And that we may give you honor and praise and glory. And that we may do all things for your good and your pleasure. Thank you for this time when you remind us of that through the coming of Jesus. What it meant for him to leave his home in glory to come here. Be with us now. And if there's anyone, Lord, here that needs you, may he come forward to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or if there's someone here who wishes to serve, may we serve in hands joined to give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio.